welcome everybody again to today's edition of Saturday AMI. This is Vance Rogers, your host, and I have with me Royal Diamond Stephen B. Stevens, and I believe you're on the line.
I am on the line. Good morning, Vance.
Good morning, and so good. There's always fun, excitement in my spirit when I have the privilege of either speaking to Stephen by myself or within a group setting like this, because Stephen has always been a longtime mentor and example. When I was just a lowly Bible school student, Stephen was one of the speakers that came in for a week and encouraged the student body in some amazing ways, which is always interesting, because when I looked at Stephen's background even then, I thought, man, it really didn't fit the mold of one of the speakers that would come in and spend a week at our Bible school. However, you were always remembered as one of those pillars. Stephen, network marketing has always been part of who you are, but for the sake of everyone who doesn't know your story, take us back to your career history, and then we'll jump right into today's subject of casual conversations that convert. How did you come about in getting into the network marketing industry?
Well, you started down a couple of different paths there, but I love the topic casual conversations that convert. And it's probably the best jumping off point for this. I got into network marketing because of a neighbor, and I'll get to that in a moment. But my career path really began when I was 15, and I started in radio and spent a number of years in radio, and then went on into television. Actually, a couple of years ago, and this is better than a tombstone, I got voted into the Broadcasting Hall of Fame. So those were good. Yeah, those were good years. They really were. They were confining years. We were there in the fun days of radio. If anybody remembers the 60s when Elvis was around and the Beatles were there. In fact, our station brought the Beatles to St. Louis, and we packed Bush Stadium. So that shows you the popularity of that station. Those were in the days before FM. And in those days, there were many fewer choices on the dial. So we would frequently have 20, 30, 40% of the audience, and on some days, if everybody else was falling down, we would go over 80 or 90%. It was that much of a popular station in a market of a few million people. So they were really great years.
And how long were you in radio?
Altogether in broadcasting, about 15 years, and then I began freelancing and producing a lot of sales documentaries, and did that for a number of years, even after I came into network marketing.
Okay. And you, what led to the transition of going from radio over to television?
It was just time to do it before I was 30. Somebody said you need to make the jump before, so I did, and I'm grateful for what I learned in television. It is still serving me well even today.
Okay. Fantastic.
Now, there is a prospecting story from that time in my life that is probably my favorite, and that is that I had a friend named Warnie, and he was always going to do a three-way and connect me with somebody, and I love to tell this story. He said, "You have an active dating life," and I did, and he said, "I know a girl with a very active dating life." In those days, we weren't typed down so much as people are today. I think they start going steady at 11 now. But you're getting close to that with your daughters. Anyhow,
don't even go down that road, because I may have to go invest in a shotgun.
I understand. So he said, "You ought to meet this German girl." And he said, "I will introduce you." How many times have we heard that in network marketing? And they're always going to get around to it. And he never did, but she sounded so intriguing that I finally weaseled the name out of him. He wanted to be there, so I had to kind of say, "Well, what's her, just tell me her first name so I can remind you." And I still do this in network marketing. And he said, "Well, Gisela." And I asked him the next time I saw him, I said, "Well, what's her last name?" And he told me. And the next time I saw him, I said, "Where does she live, by the way?" Just so I kind of know. And he gave me the address. And he never got around to doing that three-way, although he takes full credit for getting us together. So I finally went and knocked on her door and said,
working as a...
She was in a publishing house. She had come to America to go to school and working in a publishing house. Came here to go to university. So
the rest is history, and you.
Yeah, yesterday was 40 years ago for that.
Wow,
just the most delightful years. But I think if I had never moved forward because he promised a three-way and did not execute, I would not have had these happy years. And
there's a lesson, many, many, many lessons to be learned that we can apply to what we're doing today.
Oh, there really are. I mean, how many times do people say, oh, I've got just the person for this. And when that bursts forth, I usually am ready with pen and paper and say, let me just have the first name. I still do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll remind you of it later. Because in the beginning, there's all this enthusiasm that's flowing through them. It's like they're on a 10-cup caffeine trip. And they're just beginning to spew forth names, which later they might forget. So I kind of want to remind them and say, let's get back to this and remember you talked about so-and-so and so-and-so. And what I'm saying today really applies to everything in network marketing. So you ask how we got into it. We lived in a house that looked out the back toward another house across a couple of lawns. And there was a fairly young woman there, probably in her 30s, but we would see her let the dog out in her house coat all hours of the day, and we never saw her in anything but a long to the floor house coat, and we thought, gee, she looked a little pale. Also, one day she called and she said, my life has been turned around by some nutritional products from Company S. And if you don't know what Company S is, you can ask Vance, because we have the same background. I still take a few Company S products, and you do too, I'll bet.
Absolutely.
Yes. And she said, you need to come to this meeting. Those were the days of meetings and network marketing. And now, you know, the meetings take place on Saturday morning like this, and in other settings we do so much by telephone and computer, and I think it's probably still changing. Very, very much so. Anyhow, I went to that meeting, and what the man said turned my life around. So he made me think. I realized I was not getting everything from the food that I was eating, and yet I wanted to have a healthy lifestyle.
And this was how many years ago?
Oh, this was in 77.
Okay.
And at the end, I went pursuing him up by the stage, and I said, well, aren't you going to ask me if I want to join? He said, no, you have to ask us, and he turned and walked away. And he was the equivalent of a royal diamond. We became friends, and probably still are today if I run into it. But it did change me, and it made me want what he had.
And you still utilize that today, and not to shorten up the story or cut to the chase. However, by offering something, a gift, and then putting a sense of excitement on it and want in that we creating it, rather than just saying, hey, here's the application or give me your social security number, which is always kind of iffy today. But you're talking an event that happened 31 years ago, and 31 years ago, to think that we weren't getting all the nutrition from our food where are we at today with all the farmers converting over to corn so we can have a different alternative source of fuel? And so that's going to take the hit on our, you know, fruits and vegetables and all
sure.
that. That's a whole other subject in itself. But you jump on board into the industry, and what did you do, or where did you start to learn? I mean, obviously in public broadcasting and television and radio, you have to know the art of communication. It's a little different when you're looking at a camera or, you know, staring at a microphone. How did you transition into all of a sudden making this a way of life as far as a business?
Probably wasn't all of a sudden, but there were some things that enticed me, and probably the same things that enticed you, and those things which you so eloquently drop into conversations. There's never a week that goes by that you don't mention something about your lifestyle. Last week, I think you mentioned sitting there in your slippers, or you had just had your cup of hot tea. So you roll out of bed on Saturday morning, and I don't know if this is the earliest you get up all week, but there you are on the air at 7 in the morning. And I think how you built this, Vance, you started with just a I tuned in because you're my immediate upline, and I've always admired you and appreciate your leadership and what you bring to the table. And I also listen because it's good information, and there are people on here who are not in the Rogers happy family of people. And they're here because they get good information as well. And it just gives kind of a, you know, a sort of family feeling of understanding things that are going on. And you pick up a lot of good information along the way. But back to broadcasting, I've done thousands and thousands of commercials in my day. So basically, you're a prospector when you're getting those commercials, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking for people to come and buy those things, and you learn to do them well if you get paid well. And I did a good job on commercials, still do occasionally when people find me. This morning, as I turned on my computer to see if you had something to say to me, I'll just look over here on the screen. I have been prospected already this morning by Saks OFF 5TH, by Borders Bookstore, by Barnes & Noble, and the Elijah List, and, you know, many other people who are prospecting me to want what they have. Niken and other network marketing companies are unique. We're prospected every day, you know, emails, commercials, brick-and-mortar malls, shopping malls, that kind of thing. They make it easy for us to spend our money to get their things, to get onto their program. But they don't really give us an opportunity to participate. If we like something and tell others, we usually don't even get a thank you. And I've heard you recommend movies on here. Did anybody ever send you a free movie ticket?
Nope.
Nope.
Didn't get it from them or the movie producer, the director, or the, you know, distribution company.
Yeah, and they even named one after you, Bagger Vance, but, you know, nothing.
The legend. Legend Bagger Vance.
That's it.
Let's get the whole thing. And that's something that's interesting because we're doing it anyways, and sometimes I really feel that we overcomplicate this art of networking or sharing or selling or relationship marketing when we say, well, I have to prospect. And then all of a sudden it becomes an ogre job of sorts that we have to do it, and we miss the art of just sharing about something that we're passionate about or something that we had an experience about. And I know that, in, you know, 15 years ago when we were both introduced to this, you always, you know, working with company S, you keep your list of contacts. You keep in the back of your mind, oh, man, that person would be great if the right opportunity came along. And I know that one of your first conversations, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if my memory serves me correctly, that when you had contacted Dave and Alex Dolfoos, because you had knew you were good friends with them, with the previous company.
Right.
They were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You're in Cincinnati. And you said something along the lines of, Dave, I believe this is the company we've been looking for that's going to take us into the 21st century. Something along that line? Or
I did, and then I called for help, but that's probably jumping the story too far
ahead. Well, we'll get there, but you had the contact, and yet you weren't afraid because Dave was at the top, the equivalent to actually almost at a royal ambassador.
Right. He had actually left that company, though, and I think he had tried restauranteering and a few other things and was not in – yes, he was in another small networking company, which may or may not be still around. And I knew he was casting about for something to do. People talk about jumping around, but you know, sometimes we have to try different things, and then they talk about leaving companies, and Dave would probably say, if we were on the phone this morning, he'd probably say, I think the company really left me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, companies go through things sometimes, and companies do sometimes leave people and they don't relate anymore, and it was just time for Dave to move on. So I contacted him, and he had some product experiences which really piqued his interest, and the reason he had product experiences is because your mother called you and said, Vance, you're in Tulsa, take this man some products. And that's how it all worked. And
yet you weren't afraid to reach out to somebody, and you didn't know at the time the financial stress that Dave and Ellie were under. Fast forwarding to today, you still have contacts from, you know, whether it's radio, television. Let's start with the warm markets, as we call, and then we'll get into some of the things that you do at your second office, your local Starbucks. What do you do? How do you go about bridging the gap? Let's say, you know, you knew me because we worked together in television or radio back in St. Louis, and you hadn't seen me in, you know, 20 years, and all of a sudden you think, hey, I'm going to give Vance a call and see what he's up to and see if I can introduce him to Niken. How do you, I mean, we're talking a warm relationship, someone that you know, and what do you do? How do you say, do you have a set commercial that you use to throw Niken in the door there?
No, I really don't. What I do, what I take, what I sleep on, what I breathe, what I drink is so much a part of me that it just naturally comes out. And I have to say, one of the great heroes of my life in prospecting is your dad. He has perfected the art of asking questions. And I have to honestly say, I'm not out there looking for people for the business. I think there's a time in our life when we're doing that. And of course, even now, I always am looking for people to come into this business. But basically, I'm looking to make friends and to build relationships. And it ought to be that way. Really, our whole lives or our lives tend to get smaller and smaller. Friends die off, they move, and it's always a good idea to keep making younger friends, by the way. And
it is a compliment.
Yes, it is. But basically, you know, we should be just making friends and reaching out to people. Our church, which is a Vineyard church, has grown to about 8,000 people in, oh, I don't know, a little more than 10 years. And they do it because, among other things, we'll be standing in line at a place like a Starbucks, and we'll turn around to the person behind and say, I just want to show you God's love in a practical way. Let me buy your coffee today. And we're not trying to forge a relationship or anything, and we might give them a little tiny card that tells them the service times, and generally then we walk off. We're not trained to, you know, bore in and try to make it happen. And it leaves them kind of flabbergasted. People do that in fast food lines. I don't go through those, but there's story after story of people driving to McDonald's and Taco Bell and the like and saying, let me pay for the person behind. And it has so changed those lives. And it's built to about 8,000 people just that way, just doing simple acts of service and showing God's love in a practical way. So,
and it's not any different than what we do when we're in an Ambassador of Hope. And I kind of wrote about this in my weekly email this week, that we have the responsibility. If information is power, we need to be the ambassadors and bring that, you know, a cup of cold water on a hot, blistering day to, you know, bring the refreshment. And a lot of times that's what we're doing when we deliver that message.
Right. And sometimes if we have a failure, it's that we force it too much, that we go in on it before it's really time. And I would rather build a relationship with somebody. Now, if I see somebody with an issue, maybe they've got, a small cast on their foot, or beach is a favorite place of mine. I see back operations all the time, and I'll start talking about it. People love to talk about their operations, but I'll see them limp, and they'll say, well, you know, I hurt my knee the other day out golfing, whatever. I'll hear them cough. You know, there are just lots of ways to get into the conversation if you want to go in quickly. I prefer the slow way. The longer I've been in this, I try to build relationships and really go from there. And question like your dad does, I keep asking him about their business. People don't want to hear what we have to say. Well, I think you should do so-and-so. Instead, you have to lead into it very, very naturally. And
mm-hmm.
I'd rather dribble information on them than do it rapidly, even if I have a box full of CDs and brochures in the trunk of the car. I'd far rather give them one, say, I think I have another one that might relate to this. How can I get it to you? Main thing I want to do is capture their name. And
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say something really forceful like, give me your name and address.
rather than say, hey, why don't you come out with me? I think I might have something in the trunk of the car. And you stand there and one after the other, like sometimes we used to do.
Yep.
In the days of old, hand them literally enough information to keep them listening 24/7 for the next week of everything that we possibly have. So there is that magic, if you will, that one piece that, as you said, I think I might have something that you would relate to. So tailoring it specifically to them.
Right. And then I'll send them another piece or give them a call or drop them an email, invite them to something like, you know, this call right here, like the water and air calls a couple of weeks ago. Good place to invite people. Well, one of them, they might have done better tuning in halfway through, but we won't go there. I knew that would make you laugh, Vance. you know, one of the things I use on water is I say, do you know that we all filter the water we drink? We all drink filtered water, and they look at me, and I say, yeah, we're either doing it with our kidneys or we're doing it with something like Nikan has. We're all filtering the air that we breathe. It's either our lungs doing it or we have the air power. And people need to kind of wake up that way. So I have little phrases that I drop in. One that I use is, do you try to manage your own health? And they always hear something else out of that. They always think health management organization. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
But then we kind of go down that path. Do you go along through life and just kind of hope that you're getting the right things in your body, and if you get sick, go to the doctor and try to get fixed? Or do you try to manage what you eat?
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the phrases that I use to get there, but I don't rush it as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's slower with me.
Let me ask you a question that Molly Chang, who I guess that would be northeast of you in Dayton, Ohio, emailed to me. And I want to remind people, if you've got questions, don't hesitate to email them to me at bsrogers995@aol.com, and I'd be happy. I don't want to open up the lines because it gets a little too chaotic with, you know, 150-plus people on the line.
Vance, I know that you're just paranoid about the babies crying in the background, the birds squawking, people doing dishes, and that comes out.
And the toilet flushing, or the best is when someone's snoring.
Oh, yes.
Just hang up the phone if you don't want to be on the call.
I've never done that on your call. I'm usually on the treadmill on Saturday mornings on this down at the health club, and I have a new piece that I put in.
It's because all the wives that are in bed with me, as they say it, on Saturday morning, listening on the West Coast on their cell phone and their earpiece, and their husband is laying in the bed next to them, totally clueless about what they're doing. Molly from Dayton talks about, you know, introducing Nikan to people at church, and you don't want to violate, you know, the fact that they're there to worship, or you're part of a small group or a Bible study. How do you transition? I mean, how do you keep things sacred when you're, you know, going to Mass, you know, early Sunday morning, or you're walking out of your Vineyard church there in Cincinnati or North Cincinnati, and if it came into the conversation or you really wanted to bring this person into your business? I did something a few weeks ago, and I just simply told a couple that we've been friends with for a while that, you know, you guys are really successful in your own line of work, and, you know, Stacey and I have always said that if there's anybody that we'd ever want to be in business with, it would be, you know, this couple. And she responded by saying, you know, Vance, we've got more than a full plate right now. And I said, okay, well, I'd still like to get together and learn more about what it is you guys do. So I kind of took the rejection and spun it back around. But how do you, when you're at a fellowship, when you're at your weekly church setting, how do you, you know, is there a proper way to do that?
Very softly. Those people are there every week, so I really can't force in very, very much. I'll suggest maybe I could call them during the week sometime, or even invite them to Starbucks that day, and I've done that after church. Basically, I don't want to get too much in their face at church. Now, it is a place where I meet people. All of us do. We meet them there. We meet them at school meetings. We meet them in restaurants. Just I make up situations to constantly meet people. I don't do well when I sit around the house. I do call people. You asked earlier about the warm and the cold market. the church would be probably a semi-warm market because they kind of know your face. And, you know, you might ask them some kind of a question if they're doing something for their health and say, but I don't want to talk about it here. One of my heroes, too, is Peter Falk, you know, Lieutenant Columbo. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do it right here, but can I give you a call later in the week? And usually I do it with a kind of a turn of the heel. I'm sort of body Englished away from them so that they know I'm leaving. You know, Falk did that so perfectly in that character. He'd be on his way out the door, and he'd turn back and say, oh, by the way, I don't want to know if you shot him, but when you woke up, where was the gun, you know? So I do that a lot. I say, oh, by the way, can I give you a call? What's the best way to reach you? Because I have something that may be the need in your life.
Mm-hmm. And transitioning that, and I love the way you said that, you know, I really don't want to talk about it here. So we keep that place of worship sacred, and then we transition out. And I don't think that's any different than if we put a sense of time element when talking to somebody, let's say, at, as you describe it, your second office at the local Starbucks, and you meet somebody who you don't have any relationship whatsoever with, how do you start a conversation with somebody that you're standing in line at Starbucks, or they're sitting there reading the paper, or whatever? Give us some examples.
There'll be some kind of an example. Some kind of an event. Be the weather breaking now, or maybe they're reading something interesting in the paper, or I can't even think of it now, and yet I do it every day of my life. But I always start a conversation at Starbucks. I'm usually there every day, and I don't drink coffee every day. By the way, I often have herbal tea. Your mother will be very pleased. Pretty soon I'll start riding my bike down there because the weather will break, and you know that always brings up conversation because it's kind of a nerdy bike. You know, it's not the fancy $5,000 a day Johnson model, you know.
Something that Robin Williams wore maybe in the movie RV, you know, with the...
Not that bad, but it does have a little Hugo horn on it, you know. Like now, I looked at the paper this morning, and the big headline here is the NCAA, and I don't watch any of those games, but golly, what a wonderful prospecting story in front of us, because these coaches for years have been building these programs, and now suddenly here they are, and what are we down to, the Elite Eight or the Final Four? And it has all hinged on how much recruiting they have done, so it's kind of a natural opener there for a lot of people. It's a good one to train people with because we basically are recruiters. We're constantly in a sorting product process. And you asked something I didn't answer a moment ago. Calling up old friends and people that I've worked with in the past. When I call, I don't call and say, talk about everything in the world. And then finally get around to this, I'll say, you know, I called you because I want to ask you something about nutrition, or you smoked for a number of years, and I have something that might really help your lungs at this point, but first of all, tell me how the children are doing, or whatever. You know, you can't just pretend to be something that you're not.
So you state them, or state for them, the reason of the call, or the reason...
Very early, yeah.
Very early, and then you... simply take it away, playing the infamous game of cat and mouse, by throwing it back and said, but aside from that, I want to talk to you about that, but first,
sure,
give them the opportunity to share, and more likely than not, 9 times out of 10, I would venture to say, because I've seen this happen myself, that they will, after they've shared about the kids, the family, the pets, whatever, the last vacation, they will bring it back and say, now, wait, what is it this about my lungs?
Yeah.
Because that tends to happen.
Precisely. So that's how I would work with somebody in the warm market. With the cold market, it's just as innovative as you can be. I don't have any tricks on it. And I'd like to say I was listening to a prospecting series that your parents sent for Christmas, and the fellow on there said, I forget the name of the speaker, he said, if you're doing something and it's working, don't change it. You know, whatever your personality is, you know, some people start conversations easily and some don't. if you don't start them easily, learn the knack of it, or take along a kind of a mouthy friend. I have a friend who used to write for Saturday Night Live, so he and I were at a restaurant on Tuesday very briefly, and a fellow walked in while my friend opened the conversation, and then I picked up the back end of it, and so I've started asking this fellow about his business. He happens to own a wine business out of Florida, imports German wines, and I said, you have German red wines. I didn't know that Germans even appreciated red wines. So consequently, he has called me now, and that's kind of interesting, and we have an entree, and I captured his number in my phone.
Well, and you just made the comment, if you're doing something that's working, don't change it.
Yeah, don't change it. Just keep meeting people and meeting people and meeting people. And you and your parents have closed many a person for me. I don't think I've ever brought anybody in without some kind of a three-way.
Now you brought that up, and I think we lose a lot of people because of two main reasons. Number one, we all feel, especially if we've been doing this a while, we feel like, you know, we're capable of bringing this person into the fold by ourselves. Why do we need to use three-way? And then secondly, so often people are like, man, I don't know how to do it, and my person might think I'm attacking them or ganging up on them. You have an incredible knack, and I've used you as an example many, many times in the art of a soft sell three-way, if I can use it that.
Yeah.
And you will call, let's say, and you're calling your sponsor, which is me, Vance Rogers, and I'm not there live. What do you do at that point with this person, whether you're standing in Starbucks or you've...
I call another one. I have a list of people that I just keep calling, and it might be in different categories. Like, you know, I've got a couple of friends that golf better with the mag steps. I have people that specialize in certain diseases. I have some people that specialize in the freedom of the business, and
okay,
certainly you would be one of those. I tend to probably product prospect a little bit more than business prospect, especially in the beginning, and thankfully now Dave Stoltzfus has started this Monday night thing, which really dwells on the business, and I would aim people toward that at some early point. But when I do a three-way, I never announce it as a three-way. You know, that's just like death, you know, to say that
almost
to people.
Like saying, hey, I want you to meet my doctor, and by the way, in 10 minutes or less, he can perform a colonoscopy. You know, I'm sure you're...
Exactly.
You know, and you're like, no.
That's a good point. I don't want to go there. Yes.
I don't want to go there. And there's something else that you also do, because I've received many a phone messages, and you still do this, that... If you've got somebody on the line with you and you don't catch me, you'll actually leave a message and have that person leave their name and phone number, so that we've taken a three-way that didn't happen and now turned it into just a two-way dialogue that, when it's convenient for me or when I get the message, I can return. And you have actually even said, now, Jim, what would be a good time for my friend Vance to call you back and... go ahead, Jim, and tell Vance a little bit about yourself. So before I even call Jim back, I know why you segued me into the three-way that didn't happen.
Yep, precisely. And
very effective.
In the computer world, it's called opting in. See, Jim has given you permission to call him with his own voice. So I'll say, Vance, I wanted you to meet Jim, whom I just met here. He's your age. He has a similar background. He went to a school like you did. And I really wanted you to meet him, but you're not there. So I'm going to hand the phone to Jim, let him tell you the best time and telephone number to reach him at. So,
and many, many people are wellness consultants today as a result of that simple thing. What I think we miss is that we try and make things so structured and like, okay, Vance,
right,
I want to do a three-way with you tomorrow at such and such time, and then all of a sudden I blocked out my schedule for this three-way, and if it doesn't happen, you know, it's kind of like, well, I was doing something else with my family that day, and I set aside the time, or I gave you my cell number, or whatever. And if we'll just keep it more casual.
Yep, and, precisely.
You know, on the cup. Molly asked another question, again, from Dayton.
Molly's always full of good questions.
She is, as I call her, my Chinese chick friend. She's just amazing in what she's done with Nikan, yet constantly wanting to improve, because, as you just stated, you know, if you're doing something, don't, and it's working, don't change it. However, at the same time, I was at Nike's world headquarters, which is 30 minutes away yesterday. A good friend of ours is one of their lead designers there. And one of their mottos or one of their pithy sayings, if it's not broken, fix it anyway, because they want to improve. And you just stated that you were listening to a prospecting series, and if, you know, somebody who's been 15, we're going on your 30-plus years in the industry, and you're listening to ways to prospect better, we can all improve. That being said, what do you do when somebody, before you've even given them the opportunity to be informed about Nikan, or you've said a couple sentences worth, how do you keep them on the hook, if I could use that, when they respond, nah, Nikan's not for me, and they haven't even seen anything, really?
Well, I never go for a hard no. Everything I do is always to have a continuing conversation about this. It's usually, I have another piece of information to give you this, to give you about this, but right now here's this little piece of information. And I'm listening for their feedback, and sometimes I just realize it's hopeless. Like, if you listen to what comes out of people's mouths, like when I ask if they manage their own health, and they start talking about the wonderful doctor that they've got, and I'll start talking about health, and they go back to their wonderful doctor and how many operations. I usually just kind of remember them for another time in life. My wife has a saying. She says, love them alone. You can't go in on everybody. You really can't. It's a constant sorting process. Dave Soltzfus used the phrase, looking for aces. Well, mm-hmm. We are looking for aces, but, you know, along the way, we find a lot of kings and queens and probably eight of hearts, and you know, people that maybe just want to use a little bit, or they'll bring somebody else that will be great. But there's nobody great or not great. I think everybody needs what we have and what other people have in network marketing too. I have people in other networking groups who actually buy some of our products. And before we get to the end of the program, I'd like to speak about some new things that I've been doing. Somebody started a network around town here, kind of a real estate network, but then they decided to invite other marketers in. So I remember a jewelry lady showed up, and somebody with one of the juice companies, well, two juice company people, and I decided to go, and I started meeting people and came up with some people there. So that has been very good. I don't like these closed network groups, you know, where they only have one of each thing.
Right. And you only get, what is it, 2 minutes for every 6 weeks or whatever to make your pitch. And then all. Yeah, there's some interesting things out there. But as you stated, keeping there's a lot to do with body language, too. So you never have to get to know.
Yeah, never get to a hard no. Say, you know, I'd like to talk to you more about this, but change the subject, and I usually lead them away from my subject into another one, and hopefully I've dropped enough in there to get them curious that they'll come back to mine. If not, I'll drop another little hint, and then I'll go away from it again. I want to see them grab hold of it. If they don't start asking questions, it's just like your children in school. If they don't ask questions, they are not going to learn.
Exactly.
Just the way it is.
And what's interesting about where you're at in Cincinnati, there is not a thriving, and I'm not saying anything that's bad or evil or demeaning on what's going on in the Cincinnati, greater Cincinnati.
No, there's not a lot happening here, but the Starbucks is along a major interstate, so I meet a lot of people coming through.
Well, and that's the beauty of it. So you're not funneling them to this regular weekly wellness preview of 100 or 150 people plus or whatever. You're just, it's one by one,
right.
And it allows you to bring them in. And Tuesday night this week, we had several people that we invited to come here. Bob Richards, our president, who was in town, and one of our guests that we invited, and he simply, as right before the meeting started, he said, now, what is this tonight? And I'm like, wow, you know, if Vance Rogers didn't even inform him about what it was that he came to.
Sure.
You know, skipping dinner, coming directly from his office, and he ended up winning one of the door prizes, one of the Air Wellness Travelers. But I guess it was interesting thinking about that, because he came as a friend, because there was an element of trust there. And when you play that game of cat and mouse of, you know, I'd like to give you some information about this, but how is your wife and your kids? You take it away, and there's a sense of curiosity.
Curiosity and non-urgency. I'm not going to die or fail to have food on the table if they walk away and don't get interested.
And yet for a brand new wellness consultant who is, like, let's say, working with the Pathfinders program, and they're saying, look, I got to get my five people this week, we can put a sense of urgency on it without making it seem so urgent. If we say, you know, I just linked up with this company that is exploding around the globe in almost 40 countries right now, and it's something kind of new and exciting, I'd love to share with you, to you about you. But aside from that, how is your husband doing? And you had mentioned that your oldest was really having a tough time in school with that ADD thing or whatever it was. You can flip it back. And yet that sense of urgency is there because you're trying to get that five count in or trying to get your, you know, because, you know, often if we're not out there continually doing it. Stephen, one last question.
Well, you brought up the thing of meetings, and I love these things on Saturday morning when they're less than an hour, so I'm glad you're beginning to bring it in for a landing. You know, so many times we feel an obligation to make it so long, and I think, oh, gee. Meetings, we don't have them like we used to. I mean, in the old days of network marketing, there were three or four channels on television, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And people would come out now, you know, with 100, 300 channels. They've got lots to do. So this Saturday morning thing that you have done, I think, is just great. People can tune into it and look at it here. It is a national meeting with 150 people. And you or I would be hard-pressed to draw 150 people almost in any city in this country, wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we've come together with this modern way of communication. There's also something else I'm beginning to look into. I met with a fellow locally who is doing podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not in the business that I'm in, but he kind of opened it up to me if I want to try it. I wouldn't be able to mention Nikan, of course, but I could talk about health and probably get people to opt in and ask for some information. So I'm going to explore that. There's something else that I'm beginning to look at in the computer world, some talking emails and things just to get back to people and get more in their
face.
That's
something that Dennis Williams has done the last couple of weeks with the continual webcast that he's doing, and that, you know, each person is going to relate to something different. We're all as unique as our own fingerprint, which means no two of us are the same. Therefore, some we may relate to an email. And you and I both have brought many, many people into Nikan just simply via email. And Jim Curry, one of our platinums that is an elaborate writer and taking an idea and concept and hooking people that way. And then I'm reading one of Molly Chang's emails that she wrote to a gal in her Bible study, that we can use all different forms.
Right.
The key is there's certain elements that need to be brought in there. Stephen, my last question that I would throw at you, in that, again, 32 years in this industry as a network marketer, does it ever become old to you?
And if no, it never does.
How do you keep it fresh?
Well, if I won the lottery or had a rich uncle, I don't think I have one, though, who died, I would still keep doing this because this is a mission to me. I love to see people break free and feel better. I like to see their lives break free. In fact, this morning I was reading in the Bible in Isaiah 58. This is what I'm after, to break the chains of injustice, get rid of exploitation in the workplace, free the oppressed, cancel debts. Well, how many people that we know about, basically, who are in everything but network marketing almost, are exploited in the workplace? And,
mm-hmm.
and this is one where people rise to the level of their own talents. Share your food with the hungry, invite the homeless poor into your homes, put clothes on the ill-clad. You know, that could be a pair of our underwear in the old days. Be available to your own families, and you're available. I mean, your daughters play around your feet while you do these calls.
Mm-hmm. Well, she'll be popping through the door any second now.
Yeah.
She doesn't like to sleep in like her older sister does. So.
Ah. So this is really a mission, and I will do it all of my life, and I have fun doing it. It's just fun to reach out to people. know so much, all of us that are on this call, we know so much about living well, living healthy, living free. We would be remiss in not sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, I want to thank you again for jumping on the line. It's always entertaining because I love the fact that you keep it casual. There's nothing, and as you just said, if it's not fun, then we're doing something wrong. One of the great drama settings that we used to use in ministry when Stacey and I were leading teams of young people overseas, that, you know, it's got to be fun. And if, you know, I was reading Yvonne Nelson when they came into NECAN, what was it, 17, 18 years ago, Reed said, you know, we wanted to make money, we wanted to do something to change our health, and thirdly, we wanted just to have some fun, because their life was not very fun at the time, being completely broke. And that's a big thing that sometimes we often forget. So I don't want to.
Thank you, Benson. I, again, admire these Saturday morning calls and the Pathfinders and what Dave is doing on Monday night. You know, all of those things add up. They're resources we can use, and there may not be a big meeting in your city, but there's a big meeting on your telephone several times a week.
Mm-hmm. And we can be plugged into that and run and plug other people into it, and that's the beauty of it.
For additional copies of this conversation, contact Brad Huddleston at the following address.
www.growingandwellness.com. And Brad is working on all kinds of wonderful things, and we'll have this recording or snippets of this recording up on his website. And the Larry Prophet interview that I did a couple weeks back is kind of like a permanent feature there for free. You can't sell it, so it's on the website. I believe it's still over on the right-hand side. And you'll want to listen to that, because a lot of great information came through on that one.